is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I know you can do it. Just gotta hold on. Thank God for life, this is a sunshiny day. Then go get to the money, I got no time, no waste, cause it be hard to hold on, hard to hold on, hard to hold on, hard to hold on. From a place where they say much crap, my God, but kick dogs running through the corner. Over there, we gotta fight to survive. At the same time, trying to keep a seeing my world so caught. But I can't sweat up. Think I'll be thoughts, it'll get better. Whether if we bought all good, gotta give God thanks. And I walk with the faith, so I don't think twice. Big up to the nurse and the bus driver, officers and the school teachers. Hey. Rasta man who's selfie nut. Mom on the road who still feed us. Hey. Big up to the people on the garbage truck. Much respect to the janitors. Sometimes you does feel tired. I know that you had enough. Feel talk.
To all the prayers I pray, my faith laid away. Take it day by day. Cause even when good things don't come my way, I
thank God for life. Yes, it's a sunshiny day.
Sunshine.
Go get to the money. I got no time. No waste.
Gotta get it.
Be hard to hold on.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, June 29th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. And we are thanking God for this sunshining day, right? And I heard it's raining by the Attorney General's office, and I said, no, there's no rain here by Guardian, and we just right next door. But there's rain in some place, but it's sunny right here where I'm at, and I am celebrating. Today, I want to have a question about citizenship. Citizenship and the value of it. Is there any value in Bahamian citizenship? Right? I believe there should be value. I believe there is value. And I believe there are people here bastardizing that value of Bahamian citizenship. Recently, there is a discussion, a debate on whether it was appropriate for the Minister of Immigration to swear in someone into citizenship, to become a Bahamian citizen at a funeral. And I proclaim then that I believe after Cabinet has signed off for that Bahamian citizenship, that the swearing-in ceremony can happen any place, right? However, my question here is intent. What was the intent of the minister to go to a sanctity place, a church where a woman's husband is being interred, where the family is wailing and celebrating life, right? And have a ceremony, a swearing-in ceremony of Bahamian citizenship there. What was his intent, right? And I want to have that discussion because I saw that there was a response by the former Minister of Immigration, Brent Simonet. Then there was a response by the former Prime Minister, Hubert Minnis, and a strange response by Sheen Gibson also, a former Minister of Immigration. I'm going to put all of that in the mix, especially as we march towards 50 years of independence, 50 years of being Bahamian, 50 years of being an identity. And my question is there any value in being Bahamian or having Bahamian citizenship? And that's what we're going to be discussing. But before I start that, I wanted Erin to conclude her conversation that she's had beforehand, because she's given a list of things, right? And I will extend this conversation. Is there any value for a queer Bahamian? And when I said value of queer Bahamian, should people of the queer lifestyle who are Bahamian citizens be entitled to certain rights as ordinary, say ordinary, that's an odd word, as can't say regular either. Other. You see, you could get a different word, right? Because it can't be ordinary or other.
Because alternative. It's already loaded. Yeah. It already suggests that somehow we are different and that difference diminishes us.
The query indifferent, though?
It is, but that doesn't mean the difference diminishes us.
Yes. But other behemoths, right? Yeah. Should you have the exact same rights? Because definitely, there should be value in behemian citizenship. And if... I don't care. Wait. Aaron, continue with your conversation there as I need to hash that out and go on to my questioning.
The assertion that was made on the show was that the Bahamian people wholesale reject the idea that the government would be engaged in promoting a tourism product that's aimed at LGBTI people, right? And I just wanted to sort of lay out that there's been LGBTI tourism for decades in the Bahamas, and it's not just LGBTI tourism. I also want to point out that there's been a positive and supporting, not just attitude, but policies from the government in terms of LGBTI tourism. And so many people may remember the July 2004 Rosie O'Donnell cruise and the protests and then supportive demonstrations that emanated or arose around the announcement that the cruise would be coming to the Bahamas. At that time, I think the Honorable Perry Christie was in power, and his response to people who ask him how you feel about gay tourism, he said, listen, please don't follow me to church. You got to follow your own heart to God. I am paraphrasing. Flashback to 1998. And so what I wanted to share briefly was just a couple of excerpts from the official press statement by the Right Honorable Hubert A. Ingram, Prime Minister at the time, issued on Sunday, the 8th of March, 1998. And the Prime Minister presented the following speech regarding the Bahamas' position on gay and lesbian travel to the people of the Bahamas via national television. This is the Prime Minister speaking to the people of the Bahamas via national television. The Commonwealth supports and in no way hinders gay and lesbian travel into or within the Bahamas. However, given its political status as a democracy, the Commonwealth cannot hinder an individual's or group's right to lawful, free assembly and free speech. And I like that because it falls on both sides, right? You are allowed to assemble and express your displeasure with something, and gay people are allowed to assemble and express themselves as well, right? So he goes on to say, acknowledges the Bahamas is an independent, democratic country in which the rule of law is observed. We hold the rule of law as paramount. Says, my government shares the concern of the church of the community in the Bahamas. And he goes on further in to say, information freely available in the press is a powerful educative tool. And my government has been anxious to empower the Bahamian people in every way. The information can also be dangerous, particularly if the information is inaccurate, distorted, or misused. That is why it is important that the press be responsible, that you be accurate, and that you be fair. He says, an individual's right to privacy is a basic human right cherished by all people. It is a right which citizens of democratic countries expect to be respected by their government. Quite simply, it is not the role of the government to investigate and pass judgment on the sexual behavior of consenting adults so long as their activity is conducted in private. Whether a private sexual act between consenting adults is homosexual or heterosexual is not my business, and I do not think it is your business either. We cannot and ought not try to dictate or to legislate morality in any event. All past efforts to do so have failed miserably. A good example is the success of the laws against adultery. Certainly, adultery is a far greater threat to a Bahamian family life today than is homosexuality. Could we build a jail large enough to house all Bahamian adulterers? Could we exclude all other adulterers from tourists' welcome in the Bahamas? Should we exclude them? I can just read this one last piece. answer, and then I can sign off and direct people so they could read it themselves. My government seeks to promote healthy, responsible lifestyles for all our people. We know that discriminating against and ostracized create a healthy environment. Discriminating and separating blacks from whites in post-slavery USA, imprisoning Jews in death camps in Nazi Germany, corralling blacks in apartheid South Africa, murdering Tutsis in Rwanda or Muslims in Bosnia, did not create a peaceful, loving resolution to societal problems in those countries. Banning international gay persons from the Bahamas falls squarely in that category. That is the Prime Minister of the Bahamas. And so let me just read off the names of these articles so people could find it themselves, Mr. Nuri, when they are ready. Lesbian cruise draws protest, 14th of April, 1998. Bahamas apologizes to gay passengers, 19th of April, 1998. We fast forward to Islands of the Bahamas' position on gay and lesbian travel. That's March, 1998. And BCC, mum on, quote, gay day, close quotes, 24th of May, 04. You can look up all of those articles. And I'm going to delve back into this next week, hopefully with some guests, Mr. Nuri.
I find it amusing that Bahamians are so caught up inside this gay narrative. I mean, if you don't want to be gay, don't be gay.
It's very simple.
I know me, Cecil, right? The answer to having a gay club on Bay Street not being offensive is, you don't go. I ain't planning to go, right? So I can't be bothered by it. So all those people who are complaining about it, just don't go. Just don't go to the regular club and do your fornication there, right? And so God can't judge you because, you know, God has looked at sin differently apparently to you all. But I find that just strange. But I want to go to our our conversation about Bahamian citizenship. But I wanted you to conclude on your topic there. But I just find it strange. Right, I am questioning the value of Bahamian citizenship, particularly in this strange world that we live in, where we're seeing protocols and procedures by our officials, and then they're flippantly dismissing our concerns regarding it. I, CA, have no problem, absolutely no problem with the minister conducting the swearing-in ceremony at the funeral. Now, let me explain what I say. I have no problem. I believe that if there was a need for him to go there, right? Like if the handicapped unable to make it into the regular swearing-in ceremony, I can see the minister extending himself to it. Mm-hmm. However, I believe that there is some political machination happening, and I have a problem with that. If there is some political machination happening, then I would say that the minister erred because he went there for political points, brownie points, conniving stuff like that. And I have a problem with that because that should not happen regarding our Bahamian citizenship because it's a sacred thing, right? And then to have the former minister flippantly respond, say, I do swearing in all the time at different places, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in the narrative that we have foreign investors who have told our prime ministers in their presence that whoever wins the election, I win, because we sponsor both political parties and they eventually come and do whatever we say. Mm-hmm. When we have foreign investors say, we would like to be left alone and not be fooled by the Bahamian government, especially when we have foreign investors that say that we don't want to pay no tax and send the letter directly to the prime minister. Right? That we know that there is political influence in regards to our governance of our Bahamian people, and that there are two Bahamas. Bahamas for regular Bahamians and a Bahamas separate for them.
For the developers who's chasing you off the beach with shotgun because they think that they have enough money to dictate what happens in your own country?
Yes.
Okay then.
Where you know that you have former ministers taking pictures with foreign investors in their bedroom. Mm-hmm. Right? When we have foreign ministers saying they are personal friends with celebrities, especially when the celebrity son's dead and whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. When you have foreign ministers flying on planes of foreign investors and political leaders and influence when you know that that should not be happening. And it just doesn't look good in value of what is Bahamian citizenship. And that's my concern regarding that, right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to have that discussion on whether being a Bahamian citizen, not being born Bahamian, you know, being a Bahamian citizen have value, especially when we talk about the sovereign wealth fund that does not exist, mm-hmm. right? Because it has changed and morphed into something completely different. And when you ask, what benefits should a person, a Bahamian citizen, get from a sovereign wealth fund? And now you're saying that they won't get any benefits. However, we're going to have an investment fund where anybody who lives in the Bahamas will get that same benefit. That's where I have concerns about and want to have that discussion. But we have a caller ready, and I would invite the caller to join in. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good day, Mr. Nuri.
Good day to you. Blessings to you.
How are you?
I'm always good, man.
Wonderful. Aaron Green.
Good morning, sir.
A little off the clock, but boy, listen, Nuri, you're on the clock. Nuri, I trying to figure out if Mr. Nuri is scared. Nuri been hitting home run all by himself, even if nobody on base.
I from Ackland, man. We always hitting home run.
Huh?
We always hitting home run, man.
Man, you throw in some serious rock and you're behemoth.
Yeah, it's behemoth, man. True, true.
Man, listen, Nuri, I agree with you. It is unorthodox. We must have some type of standard in life, because you wouldn't go have a wedding at a funeral, eh?
No.
Mind you, I'm not saying it is not possible, but the setting wouldn't be the right setting to go have a wedding at a funeral. You understand me? So we must learn to separate, and we must learn to keep integrity and standards in this country. But ain't none of them fellas could talk. Because I remember, yeah, we know you throw some rockets now, but I remember Mr. Ingram went against Branville and let go 150 people. We don't know where they are. So even you know, citizenship was bestowed on them, because we ain't know who they are. And like you say, some members of parliament was given citizenship laying down and other people bare. You understand me? And then, I don't know about Mr. Seminar, because he can't talk. He was given our citizenship on people yacht in the back of Life Key. So we know about that too. And now, that Jesus and Minister Bell, you know, this.
Well, I want to interject, because if we can't prove any of these things, and I want to be safe on the radio.
I can't hear you.
I'm saying I want to interject because I can't prove that any of these things happen. I want to be safe on the radio. But I understand your critique. Your critique is that none of these ministers are better than the other in terms of citizenship.
My question is there any value in Bahamian citizenship? Mark, for something that you may not be aware of, but I will tell you this. Not because you don't know Domain Aaron Green, you know.
I understand
your position as a radio fella that you got to protect yourself. So I'll take back whatever you think.
Yes, and I want to apologize to those people, too.
But I agree with you. I totally agree with you that it could have been done in the church service or the funeral service, but it's very, very, very unorthodox. And remember now, last point. Y'all go after Mr. Fred Mitchell, too, because Mr. Fred Mitchell did it 3 months ago when the lady went to the detention center. And he said the children came to his office crying. He went, got the lady out, and gave the three of them citizenship. And he wasn't even the minister of immigration.
No, the prime minister, the immigration, Fred Mitchell didn't say that. He said that
hang up so I can listen to you.
Yes. The good minister Fred Mitchell did not say that. He didn't say he got citizenship. The lady had a work permit and that it expired, and that he allowed the lady to reapply for a work permit and to have the people. I just want to correct that narrative. Go ahead, Aaron.
I want to respond to something that words being used inappropriate, improper. I think it goes further. Like you said, it may not be illegal.
No, it's not illegal.
Right? But I think it's not just inappropriate and improper, but possibly even reckless, right? Because for me, that you have done this now has raised other questions related to it, right? Like in a statement that I read, it suggested that Keith Bell says, it took a long time to find the documents.
It's
as simple as that.
I won't beat you.
Yeah.
Have you read any official statement from Mr. Bell? just saw a release. Yeah. And the person where it was released suggested that it was Mr. Bell. And I've seen the Tribune call and interviewed Mr. Bell. But yeah. there hasn't been any official statement issued to say this is an official statement of the minister itself. Like, he didn't even rate us to have a official statement.
Boy, that's some bait there. Because, you know, I wonder, to obfuscate by not ever... by creating an environment where people can never actually pin any words to you, right? But I think it doesn't matter if it's not illegal. You see, we put the honorable in front of the name for a reason, mm-hmm. right? And as soon as you engage in improper, inappropriate, or reckless behavior, that honorable needs to be removed from your name.
But we have former ministers coming to the defense of this and saying, oh, I did the same thing too.
Yeah, and you think, well, I did it too is appropriate. Then you could get fired too, is also appropriate.
Yes.
You want to go to the next caller?
Let's go to the next caller there. Thank you for holding, caller. Go ahead. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, going once. Caller, going twice. Go to the next one again. Or that person hang up. You call back. I'm sorry about that caller. We got disconnected. And my point, Aaron, is the value of our Bahamian citizenship. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
So, hey, Mr. Nuri, I see my question. The guy didn't have a script, eh?
What script?
Why?
Pardon me?
What
tell
script?
Me why.
Hey, man, first of all, hey, Ms. Green.
Yes.
You said no law was broken, right? I mean, with all due respect to you, I mean, I understand you all have to serve what people need to wait for, right? I mean, but guess what?
Pause. I just said that he should be fired. I said that it doesn't matter that it's not illegal.
I mean,
he should be fired.
Ms. Green, if you don't mind, right? If you don't mind, Ms. Green.
No, you are casting a very heavy... You casting a very heavy aspersion right there. You have suggested that we are on somebody's payroll, right? And you suggested that because I didn't use the word illegal, that I must be on somebody's payroll. But I said... if the man don't resign, fire him. And if anybody else come behind him saying that this is okay, fire them too. And you gonna suggest I on somebody payroll? You talk now.
Oh, you hang up.
Good, hang up. That's a unfair thing to do to people.
But we understand that there are persons who are hired to listen to the radio show and call to what you call that? To
divert
the conversation.
Disrupt.
Disruptors. But we're having this conversation on whether it was appropriate or not, and the value again to Bahamian citizenship. Is the value for Bahamian citizenship, I think, is under attack, right? Because especially when we see Bahamian society, when some people seem to have more rights than others. And when you have that juxtaposed to what is happening, there is a concern. And I'm saying that I am concerned, and the minister should be concerned, and the prime minister should be concerned, because now we have Bahamians asking whether I have value as a person, or there's people who have more value than I do.
And for people like myself who know Mr. Bell from the legal education community, right, and the law school, I am flabbergasted. I stunned that this would have happened not just under his watch, by him himself.
I think there's an intent. We need to analyze what was the intent. He said that he was fulfilling a promise, but he could have fulfilled the promise after the funeral. He could have fulfilled the promise the day before the funeral.
Yes.
He could fulfill the promise a week after the funeral, but he publicly had a swearing in front of people for a reason. And I'm saying I'm a little uneasy with that, but let's go to another caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? No. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, call back. I see what the problem is, but call back, caller. We can't hear you. Yep. We hear you outside. I think that the producer may need to readjust something inside the room. Let's go to the next call and see if the problem is bigger. Oh, yes, it's playing inside there, producer. It's not playing here. We can't hear the caller.
Right, and we didn't mean to hang up on you. We just put you on pause for a second.
Okay, go ahead. Let's see if we can get it now. Go ahead, producer. Pass your caller. Yeah.
So call back to that first caller. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, he's correcting it right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Excellent. You know, when you look at Mussolini, you know, Italy,
and these fascist movements, it's all about how you can move the crowd. Whatever you can do to get the crowd into a belief structure so that they become your followers. Because, you know, that's fascism. I mean, that's a fascist move. It was done to get a birth, to plant a seed in a certain group of people to get the crowd going. But Mr. Nuri, have you placed an economic value on our Bahamian citizenship? What value would you put on it? Give me a figure.
And I cannot even participate because I don't know. I don't know how to. I understand the question, right? Mm-hmm. But I just don't know how to.
Well, I know how to. I feel as though a Bahamian citizenship is somewhere between $1 million and $500,000 right now. That's what it should be valued at, not just because you've been here X number of years. But I'm just using that as an exaggeration, but I think we need to somehow come up with a value and then probably not be just dishing these out at any ceremony or in any bar room. Because who knows how much this has been going on inside a nightclub? Or, you know, this may have been a practice
this
that
norm.
We just think,
be the norm.
Yeah. So we should put a value to it first. You see, when you don't have a value, you don't know your economic value. Do you happen to know your economic value, Mr. Nuri?
I've called myself priceless. But caller, I hear you. We're going to move on. We're going to take a commercial break now. I see you, callers. Callers, I see you. So right after this commercial break, short commercial break, we're coming to you, callers. But it's Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
Black up yesterday.
But she says she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday.
So what you think we should do? I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call her text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can... can know what you're saying.
So, girl, why are you so sweaty?
Darla, getting ready for the Bahamas Games.
Bahamas Games? What that is?
The game started in 1989 under the then Minister of Sports, Peter J. Bethel, and now Minister Mario Boleg.
When the games is?
This July 7th to the 15th.
For more info,
go to www.thebahamasgames.org
or call 322-1029.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guiding Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri as we have a conversation about the value of Bahamian citizenship. Is there any value in Bahamian citizenship, particularly when it seems to be two different Bahamas? And of course, we have callers waiting, so let's patch the callers through so we can get them to join this conversation. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yes.
I just want to say something. Particular corner caller who called a while ago. I'm not going to call a name, but I'm quite sure if he's listening, he know I'm speaking to him, okay? Being this little country, we're too political, you know. Because guess what? If what you see happen, it happened under the FNM, that particular corner caller who called a while ago, he would have been eating up whoever that minister was, okay? So we need to just stop for a minute and be behind before we get all caught up in these paid political parties. Okay? Because guess what? One day of the 7th, we're going to lose the same little rock called the Bahamas because of our political affiliation. That's all I want to say to that caller.
Thank you very much, caller. I appreciate that. We have another caller through. Erin, I see something in the newspaper I want you to read also. But let me get this caller, these two callers in as soon as possible. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
This is
Nuri. Hello?
Call drop.
Call drop. Okay. No problem. Move on to the next caller.
I got you.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. Happy, what is it, Thursday?
Happy Thursday.
Yay. Week almost over.
The week soon over.
Good morning, Erin.
Good yawning. How you doing?
I'm fabulously gorgeous and wonderfully made.
Awesome.
Listen, Mr. Nuri, with the citizenship thing, I feel like some Bahamians have value on it, you know. Even the ministers have value on it, you know. I just feel like there's like personal pressure because, I mean, had that happened under the FNM government and reading and hearing about the fact that the gentleman worked for Superwash for so many years, they would have made it seem like that they were doing a personal favor for someone, you know. But I'm trying to figure out where was the gentleman a nation builder, like Mr. Bell say. You know, anybody have any information on that?
And that was subjective, man. He was just saying basically that the person worked and helped develop the Bahamas by paying taxes. We all are nation builders.
Okay, because I'm curious, and I'm trying to figure out, it's not, I don't think so much is read out as the way of life has value. I feel like the caller called this now, it's a personal thing, and I don't get it. I really don't get it, because I don't see where that made any sense whatsoever. And can you guys reach out to Mr. Bell and please find out the age of those kids, please? Because I'm very curious about that. That's why I'm not saying much about it. Until I find out the age of the kids, because if he's giving it
they
to
born
kids,
in the Bahamas. Oh, once they born in the Bahamas, they Bahamian waiting. I have no problem.
What the Prairie Council say? The Prairie Council said born to a Bahamian parent.
No, that's two different conversations. Two different conversations. You're talking about people born to a Bahamian man. I'm talking about a persons born in the Bahamas by foreign parents.
The Constitution. Once they reach the age of 18, then they apply.
Yes, but
that's why I want to know the age of the kid.
Our government, cabinet, can grant citizenship to anyone at any age, at whim, when they make a decision, say, yes, we agree. So if they were 12-year-old and swimming for the Bahamas team, if they were 6-year-old and swimming for the Bahamian team in a cabinet, and cabinet said, hey, I'm going to give you Bahamian citizenship, it's that their discretion to grant it.
So are these kids taking part in such things?
We don't know what they was taking part. I'm just saying that the cabinet has a right to do it.
And we're yet to hear from the Prime Minister on this. I mean, he usually don't do nothing anyway. So in his cabinet, is like anything goes.
But see, the issue what you're talking about is a non-issue. Cabinet has decided to give it to them. That's not the issue here.
It's where it was done.
It has nothing to do with us. It is already being decided that they're getting it. It's theirs. Cabinet has a right to make that decision. They made the decision already. The issue is, why did the minister feel the need that he needed to go to a funeral to do the swearing-in ceremony? That's the issue. What was the intent?
Well, his office was probably being bugged out that day, you know, because maybe he might have some termites or something. So why he had to use a different platform.
I thought the answer was going to be the offices are not accessible by people who have mobility challenges. Mm. It's very difficult for people with mobility challenges to get into office. I thought that's what he's going to say.
Yeah, that would have been a better answer. Thank you very much, caller.
Welcome.
And callers, I'm going to come to you right now, but I want Aaron to read this into the record to strengthen my point about does having a Bahamian citizenship have any value? But go ahead, Aaron.
All right, so there's an article in today's Nassau Guardian, the front of the business section. BREA, that's the Bahamas Real Estate Association, delay VAT change on real estate purchases by foreigners. Realtors want 90-day delay on fixed VAT of 10% on all real estate purchases by foreigners.
And see, when my narrative or question whether having a Bahamian citizenship has value when contrast to other people, it just seems that there are two Bahamases and that some people have more value than us. Right? That they have access to the Prime Minister, access to our ministers to get their benefit. Whereas I got told a long line and that I'm secondary. And this is the conversation today, whether there is a value in being a Bahamian citizen, a citizen of the Bahamas. But let's patch the next caller through for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good evening to Mr. Nuri and Ms. Green. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, man.
Great. If you're politically connected, and depending on which party is in power, it benefits you to be a Bahamian. If you're a foreigner and you have access to the immigration officer, it benefits you. But typically on mass, it appears not to benefit you to be an average Bahamian because we could see, like you said, it almost appears that there's two laws. Even when it comes to building. And if you deal with strategy, and if you're intellectual and you play chess, it almost appears that political administration, I wouldn't even say this one, they seem to pander to a particular demographic subgroup. And even when it came to granting citizenship in the church, it appears to ponder to a certain demographic to say, listen, hey, if you vote us in, we will be generous to you. That's based on my insight and just looking at political from around the world. They tend to, even when it comes to lobbyists, lobbyists ponder to get their way. So my last point on this is, in the Bahamas, the birth rate, Bahamian birth rate is low. But you may have a different demographic that tend to have more kids than the persons that live in this country. So why not pander to that particular demographic and say, hey, if we grant you citizenship, if you vote us in, we will grant you citizenship, and that message may get passed on to relatives and friends who may not have citizenship yet. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but based on what I'm seeing and just, you know, doing studies around the world when it comes to political groups, they're less concerned about citizens and more concerned about getting in power or staying in power. And that's
I appreciate that. And I'm not saying that the minister is pandering to any group, you know. I'm just saying I need to know the intent, the reason why. It cannot just be that he made a promise to a dying man and he didn't see the need to give the dying man's wife the citizenship swearing in the day before or the citizen swearing in the day after the funeral, but intended to interrupt this solemn moment, the celebration of life, right? Mm-hmm. To have a whole swearing-in ceremony in the middle of a funeral. That is odd, right? And I want to know what was the intent. There got to be an intent, and it cannot just be, oh, I was just fulfilling that obligation. That doesn't make sense. And then to have another former minister say, well, I do swearing-in all the time. I go to their house all the time. It makes it seem that what happens down the road when we're not watching the swearing-in ceremony by these things? What value there is? Is there any... See, we live in a country where we have movie stars, celebrities come in short pants and slippers and singlets to go visit our prime minister in the prime minister's office. And no one dared say, hey, I understand that you're a celebrity.
And they even let R. Kelly go and meet with the prime minister at the good conference, in the good conference room.
In the good conference room. And see that's what I'm trying to say. The flippancy of value, the value of us, it doesn't seem as if we have value for ourselves. And that's value of us being Bohemian, because we let any buck go in terms of how people see us. Anyway, let me go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller going once. Okay, let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, CA.
Good morning. How you doing?
How are you doing, Goldman? Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, morning.
Yeah, let me answer your question, CA. The intent was to get votes. It's to get the Haitian vote.
Nothing wrong. No, yeah, the Haitians can't vote.
That's why they're going to the
Bahamas. No. Haitians cannot vote inside the Bahamas. I know that for a fact. They can't vote. Only Bahamians.
They said we're legal. They said we didn't get citizenship.
They call them Bahamians.
Yeah. Well, to get there with that block then. And this constituency is Carmichael. So you got to look at that too, where at least 75% of those people are. So the intent was to get that voting block.
Right. I can't believe that.
What this leader do to the... To the rally and everything. I'm one of y'all. You see, that's what's happening, man. For 2026 to get that voting block. And I agree with Aaron Green. He should Monday morning first thing he should have been fired.
You can't be fired.
Asked to resign, and if he didn't resign, then he's supposed to be fired. But we know that ain't gonna happen. We know this because you know the Alan Nicole situation was under this government too. The CMPLP government.
Let me help you right now. Let me producer. You see, you start calling people name and thing. Man, I appreciate you calling. Let me go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller.
Thank you, caller.
Next caller there, producer. Can you hear me?
All right, we're cutting the old one, coming to the new one.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, Nuri.
Hey, this is Nuri.
Listen, call back.
Yes, sir.
You know me correct, but I think what is the highest authority in the land?
The Constitution.
The Constitution. Okay. Now, two callers back, you told the lady that the ministers have a right to make the call that they want. No, sir. They have to make the call as long as it does not contradict what the Constitution says. Now, we've been doing a lot of unorthodox things, and it hasn't been challenged. But in a court of law, the ministers cannot bestow citizenship on no children if they ain't reached the age of 18 to foreign parents. Not according to our constitution.
And I'm happy
they must rate at age of 18.
I'll be happy to respond to that too. But thanks very much for calling, right? If you have two Bahamian citizens, right? Mm-hmm. The man had Bahamian citizenship. The wife now have Bahamian citizenship. And you can give the children the Bahamian citizenship. There's two Bahamian citizens with rights, right? With rights like all of us, in entitlement. And they have two children born in the Bahamas, Bahamians in waiting. Give them children the Bahamian citizenship. And that's where cabinet comes in. And cabinet makes a decision, say, yes, we're going to bestow the Bahamian citizen rights on those two children. And cabinet made a decision. Cabinet made a decision. That's why that's not the issue. The issue, that's why the opposition didn't make any noise about the bestowing of the citizenship. They're making the issue about the swearing in. So I hear people talking about the citizenship, but that's not the issue. That's a non-issue. But let's go to the next caller.
Let me just say, as we go to that caller, even in the text, people are conflating. You're all mixing up a bunch of different issues, right? And it's very important that you're able to see them as separate, especially when you engage in this level of public debate. I think a lot of people don't know what the procedures are, what cabinet is enabled to do via the Constitution and the Nationality Act and all the various acts. And some people, I just want to say that because some people are getting very, very upset, as you could, I can sense through the text. And before you get upset at something you don't quite understand, reach out to a legal expert or reach out to your government and demand clarity.
You notice that the official opposition has yet to comment about the citizenship part. They're only commenting on the swearing-in part. So yeah. I'm trying to say some of these things would we as lay people complaining about, there's no need. Let's go to the next caller here. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm CA again. You know, you keep stressing, right? And, you know, you're dealing with a high level of audience who also are part of academia. So when you talk about the minister, the cabinet, having full authority to grant citizenship.
Oh, according to the Constitution.
No, what you need to do, CA, for me, read that part of the Constitution that you're talking about. Because I can read Article 3, I can read Article 4, I can read Article 5, Article 7, and then when I can also read Article 5, I mean, I'm Section 5.
Caller.
And Section caller, 9.
Let me engage you, caller.
Yes.
Who grants citizenship? Which part of the body gives citizenship?
Nobody grants citizenship other than the Constitution. And that was quite evident
You're saying that the Constitution is a person that grants citizenship. That's what you're trying to say.
No, I mean, right now, the minister.
The minister can't grant citizenship. Cabinet grants citizenship. Cabinet. Cabinet.
Yeah, but then,
The 12 of them inside there come together and decide, yes, this person's going to get citizenship.
They cannot grant citizenship that is in direct contravention of the Constitution.
And I'm trying to say there's no conflict.
It is
Here's the next thing that everybody who's throwing out arguments forget. A law may be bad law, right? A law may be bad law, but it is deemed to be good law until it is shown that it contradicts the Constitution.
Yeah, but I show you.
So, you can't, Mr. Duncombe, can't show me that. The court. We could have a discussion. Pause. We could have a discussion about it. You could lay it on the table. Let me explain it to you in the audience. You come forth and said, listen, the way that these guys are applying the law contravenes the Constitution, right?
Yes.
The way that they are applying the provisions of the Nationality Act are not in line with the provisions of the Constitution. What I'm telling you is a fundamental principle in law is that a law is deemed to be good. It is presumed to be in line with the Constitution until it is brought before the court for like a judicial challenge. But you're not reflecting that in your public discourse. And
that's
it's important.
What I'm saying to you, Aaron.
No,
this
but it's important for the people.
Discourse.
No, it's important for the sake of the public discourse, for clarity and transparency.
But I'm giving you clarity. You don't want to give me a chance. You don't want to give me a chance.
Let me ask you this: have you brought any action in the courts yet?
No, we're in the process of doing it.
Who is
we're
we?
In the process of
and
doing
where,
it.
Which court are you going to?
We're going to the Supreme Court.
And you're starting to say that your body is going to Supreme Court to challenge the constitutionality of this.
To get a judicial review on the Nationality Act.
And which date are you going to do this?
Yes, we're going to do it. And
I ain't going to say you win or not. When are you going to do it?
No, we're going to win. Very shortly.
Is that a Bahamas government shortly? Or is that a bank shortly?
Aaron, don't conflate with them. What I'm trying to say is this. Whether you against whatever is happening now, that doesn't matter. All I'm concerned about is the rule of law. And according to what we are doing, the rule of law is not being followed because it was quite clear in the Jane Roney case.
Before Jane Roney
went to the Privy Council, Fred Smith was saying that because Jane Roney was born in the Bahamas, he is a Bahamian. But the Privy Council said something different. The Privy Council said it was quite clear that
the appellant, who happens to have been Jane Rooney, didn't meet the threshold by applying for citizenship between the ages of 18 and 19. So they couldn't grant it.
And I think that they decided that they couldn't deport him either. So it seemed different.
But pause, just pause for a second. Let me bring some clarity to this. Because, again, people are getting upset because they don't understand the law. They don't understand why things are operating the way they do. Cecil asked you, when will the challenge be brought before the court? Because that's the salient point. Until the court determines that the law is bad, until the court determines that certain provisions of the Nationality Act contravene the Constitution, those provisions are good law. False. Yes, perhaps the law should be written differently. Perhaps it's written incorrectly. It does not achieve the aim it's intended to achieve. But until then, it's good law. So stop accusing people of lying, of obfuscating, of twisting the truth to facilitate other people's political gains. You are destroying people's characters because you don't understand the law. And all I ask you to do is to recognize that fundamental legal principle for the sake of your own argument, for the sake of your own public discourse. That's it.
I'm just amused at how sure they are. Oh, you know, we can win, right? They haven't done anything yet, but we can win. It's concerned about our maturity in terms of debate and moving forward. But the right. conversation
a,
about...
Another instance, just quickly back to the conversation earlier, because a lot of people upset with me talking about homosexuality, right? There is a ban in ordinary legislation in same-sex marriage. If I go to the court to challenge it...
Are you talking about marriage again?
Listen, if I go to the court to challenge it, the court going to say, Ms. Green, it may be discrimination, but the government could do it. They are allowed to discriminate in that manner, right? Even though it's discrimination, they're allowed to do it, and there's nothing I could do about it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand the law and these legal principles before you throw these arguments out there. And more importantly, before you start defaming people in the public airwaves about what commentary they're putting on the table.
Yes, I see we have one more caller here. Mind you, these are the same people who promise about sovereign wealth fund, and every topic they promise never pan out. So I can't follow up with them because they space makeup all kind of foolishness and it never pan out now.
I don't know if that last call is a part of them.
You soon see. You soon see. Okay. Anyway, pass the caller through there. What time is it? Is that late already? It's 12 o'clock. We can't take the call, caller. We're going to the news now. This is Guardian Radio on the AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.